Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
This morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for us today. Would you pray with me? Holy God, in these moments, may we just hear a word from you this day. Amen. All through my life, I have been called by many names. When I played sports, my nickname was Little Bit, and that was usually because I was smaller than everybody else. When I was in youth ministry, they called me Cridget or Grandma. Not really sure how Grandma came around, but I answered to it nonetheless. Sometimes my sister or brother would call my name when it was time for dinner, or when it was my turn to fold the laundry or clean the dishes. Sometimes my name was called in class when it was my turn to give a presentation. Or sometimes, as the case typically was, it was when my teacher would call my name because I was talking too much to my friend sitting next to me when I wasn't supposed to be talking. My teachers learned really quickly that whoever they sat me next to would become my next friend to talk to. So I didn't get to sit close to really anybody. But the worst times that my name has been called over the years is when my mother would say, "Chrislyn Page Durham, you get down here right now." You knew when the middle name was thrown out there, you were in major trouble. But every time that my name was called, I always knew who was calling me. And if I didn't, they would introduce themselves. But it was never a mystery. I always knew. So can you imagine what it would be like to be sleeping and to hear your name being called? And so you get up and you run to the only other person around, and they tell you that they didn't call you, and to go back to bed. So you go back to sleep, and again, the voice calls your name again. So you get up and you go back to that person, and they say again, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. So you go back to sleep. You hear the voice a third time, and so you get up and go to that person, and you say, here I am, for you have called me. And they respond with, go back to sleep. And if they call you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So you do exactly what he said. And again, the voice calls out to you, Samuel. And you simply respond, speak, for your servant is listening. I can imagine that this is what Samuel felt like when he first heard the call of God on his life. These verses that we read in 1 Samuel tell us a lot about two major characters, Samuel and God. First, Samuel. We don't know much about him, but we know that he was prayed fervently for by Hannah, who couldn't have children. And then, as she promised when she said, if you would give me a child, I will give him back to you, she gave him back to God. He was raised in the temple, trained by Eli, who was the priest. What we would soon find out throughout the book of 1 Samuel is that Samuel would become this great priest and judge for the people of God. And it would be Samuel who would go to God and tell God that the people want a king. It would be Samuel who would anoint that king. It would be Samuel who over time would become aware of the injustices and have to decide whether to speak out against them or not. The temptation being to do nothing. It would be Samuel who would be asked to do many hard things for God, including telling a king that he was wrong and secretly anointing another king as the people of God. It would be Samuel who would be compared to Joshua and Moses as a leader of the people and as one who connected to God and as one to whom God spoke. But here in this moment, in this scripture, we find a Samuel who does not yet know God, but he knows of what the Lord has done for the people of God. We also find a Samuel who openly and vulnerably and blindly responds to this voice of God saying, speak, for your servant is listening. The other character that we learn a lot about in this scripture is God. Looking at these verses, it may not seem like God is one of the main characters, because God's only action in this scripture is the name Samuel called out several times. But it is precisely this act of the name being called out numerous times that makes us take note. Up to this point in the history of the Israelite people, it is God who has been a constant presence and a help in trouble. It is also God who has consistently called the people to be God's people. Christopher J. Wright points out this by writing, Israel did not just emerge out of nowhere. They were called into existence on the basis of God's promise to Abraham. It is in this understanding that we recognize that God has revealed God's self to the people of God for a very long time. And while God had been seemingly silent to the people of God in the days prior to Samuel, God again was calling his people. God was giving them a new leader in Samuel. And in calling Samuel, he was calling the people of God to return to him. One of the interesting parts to notice about God in these specific verses is that God never gives up on Samuel. God continually takes the initiative to call Samuel, even when Samuel didn't respond. And God uses another human being to help Samuel realize that the God of Israel is calling him. So what does it mean to be called? According to Merriam-Webster, to be called could mean many things. But it is our understanding that this definition of called is to speak of or address by a specified name. So to be called literally means to address by name. Often when we think of this idea or concept of call, we automatically think of a call to ministry because that's the lingo that we know. When we hear that someone is hearing a call, we automatically link it to the church. We automatically assume that they are being called to serve in the church. And we automatically assume that they are having a calling that is a vocation, a ministry. Yes, in these particular verses, Samuel was being called to the church. He was being called to be a priest, to lead people, and to bring them closer to God. But as I previously stated, God has been calling the people of God since Abraham. God didn't call every one of them to be priests or pastors. God called some of them to be teachers, to be truck drivers, to be chefs, to be realtors, to be doctors, to be whatever it is that their life work will be. But Brennan Manning hit the nail on the head when he wrote, "Everybody has a vocation to some form of life work. However, behind that call, and deeper than any call, everybody has a vocation to be a person to be fully and deeply human in Christ Jesus. The call on our lives isn't just about what we do for a living. The calling on our lives is to follow the example of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." If you were to continue to read beyond verse 10 in 1 Samuel 3, you will find that God tells Samuel what will come next. This may not seem like a big deal, but what we learn from Samuel in chapter 3 is that answering the call to follow God isn't easy. Samuel had many moments over the next several chapters where listening to God and following God's commands were not going to be easy. But here in these verses that follow this beautiful calling of Samuel, God tells Samuel that Eli, the person that has helped him to grow and know God, was no longer going to be one that people would come to, and his family would be punished for their actions. Can you imagine being Samuel at this point, knowing what he knows? The next morning, when it was time for the temple doors to open, Eli walks in and he wants to know all about this encounter with God that Samuel had. And he wanted him to tell him everything and not leave anything out. And Samuel does. Samuel has to speak a hard truth. being called to follow God is a wonderful thing. Following God can give you a great amount of joy. And I know from experience that following God can give you a great amount of hope in a world that sometimes feels and seems hopeless. But if you were to read the rest of the Old Testament and the New Testament, you would find that following God can be very difficult because we are called to love God and to love our neighbors. We are called to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We are called to stand up for what is right, even when it doesn't help us. We are called to be present with those who are hurting, and even with those who are hurting us. Or in the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died fighting for what was right in Germany, when he said, "When Christ calls us, he bids us to come and die," meaning that we are called to give of all of ourselves for Christ. Or put in Paul's words, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But you see, Samuel is not the only one to be called. And God hasn't stopped calling our name because we have turned away from God. God hasn't stopped calling our name because we have forgotten what God sounds like. God has not stopped calling our name because life has overwhelmed us. God is still calling our names. Chrislyn. Chrislyn. How will we respond? Will we keep turning a deaf ear? Or will we be willing to listen and to say, "Speak, for your servant is listening"? When I think of being called by name and responding to that call, my mind goes towards a specific prayer. It's a prayer that was taken from the Puritan tradition by John Wesley, with the thought of being used by the Methodist every year at the beginning of the year as a recommitment of their lives to God. Over the years, it has been simplified until this particular version was printed in 1936 in the Book of Office of the British Methodist Church. But it's also in our hymnal, number 607. It's a prayer that describes the way of Christ, and it invites us to remember that we are baptized. And in that baptism, we renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. We reject the evil powers of the world and repent of our sins. It reminds us that being a Christian is more than following a set of rules or a system of beliefs. It's a way of life. It not only describes Jesus' way of self-giving and self-emptying love, it also asks the same of us. Reverend Steve Mansker wrote, "The covenant prayer helps us remember what this Jesus way of life looks like and what loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and loving our neighbors as ourselves requires of us." But on a personal note, this prayer is also the way that I answered God when God called me. It reminds me of my call as a pastor, but more than that, it reminds all of us of our calls on our lives. To give of ourselves and being fully open to saying, "Speak, Lord." Yeah.
for your servant is listening. So would you pray this prayer with me now? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.